This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm doing good, man. We're in full-blown baby prep mode.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to say it, man. It's like, it just game on, man. Baby showers, and it got a few construction projects going on around the house. And so trying to take care of, you know, some of those things before little Miss Cole gets here. Yeah, man. Other than that, just trying to catch a few minutes a day to smoke my pipe and stay sane, you know. And it's kind of difficult right now, you know. There's just not a lot of free time, but I think it's only the beginning, so we'll see how it works out. But what's going on with you, dude?
Oh man, not much. Now remind us all though, the due date. When is kind
September
of the target?
16th. Yeah. So we're well on our way, about 7 weeks away now. So yeah, man, it is game time. We're exhausted, painting rooms, moving furniture, doing some little projects. You know, everyone I've talked to is like, you know, if there's anything you want to do around your house, do it now.
Because
once the sweet bundle, you know, gets dropped off by the stork, the time is going to be severely limited, and also just space and all that kind of stuff. So, it's been really great. So we'll see. So we'll see. What's going on in Houston, man? Anything?
Oh, no, man. Everything's going good here. I'm a little under the weather, so if I sound a little off this episode, that would be why.
Groggy.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting because whenever you're in a new town, you got to start over with everything. So, you know, you meet some new folks and you get a new address, you get new schools for the kids, and then also you got to get a new doctor. And so like
yeah, that's right. This, yeah. I know, right? A new pharmacy. Yeah.
Just when you think you're settled, you're like, oh yeah, gotta figure this out too. So that's always fun. But no, man, it's been good. I was actually just thinking earlier today, man, about the good folks here in Houston and how welcoming they've been, and the great pipe community that's here as well. And you know, it's great that we got to give big ups to the pipe community, not just here in Houston, not just back in Jackson, but honestly just nationwide and beyond. Because of course we got a special episode that we're going to be getting into that is very much a listener driven episode, just like next week's episode. So we'll dive into this week's here in just a minute, but first things first, next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will be doing a pipe shop fails episode.
It's thrilling.
Yeah, this is the time to air some grievances. If you out there have had a bad pipe shop experience, you know, we're not naming names, we're not asking you to name names or anything like that, but you know share what you think are kind of some fouls that you've experienced in your own pipe shop. And it, by the way, if you are a retailer yourself and have got some just, you know, horror stories from some some customers that have come in, we want to hear those as well.
We're opening up to both sides of the counter. That's right.
That is exactly right. And you know, the thing is, we you know, we're a positive show. We always try to keep it upbeat and light. But at the same time, you know, these pipe shop fails are, you know, like I said, it's the airing of grievances. You got to do it from time to time. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Also, man, speaking of a ton of fun, we got coming up August 15th. Prior to the baby coming, we got the anniversary back
I know,
at the Squire.
Right? Can
49
we sneak in,
years.
Can we sneak in one more event? Yeah. Man, August 15th.
Exactly.
That's a Thursday night. And of course, at the Country Squire, 49th birthday here at the shop. And so, just thrilling. We're really excited. Going to have live music. And of course, guest of honor, Max Stokeby with Lane and Scandinavian Tobacco Group. And he'll be there with, just some really awesome deals and some giveaway stuff. It should be a lot of fun. Also joined by our friends with General Cigar. And so Diesel Cigars, Macanudo and Punch Brands will all be there. CAO and Punch Brands will be there. And really excited about that. So, man, it should be a lot of fun. Again, August 15th. That's a Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Country Squire in Jackson, Mississippi. And if you're in the area, we'd love to have you, of course. We've been so pleased, so honored, man, to have just all these really gracious pipe pilgrims come through of late. And it's been really, really special. So, man, thank you so much. And hope to see some of you there.
Man, I gotta love the Pilgrims. Honestly, like, we would not be doing this show if not for those of you, those dedicated listeners who do make it out to the shop from time to time, but especially those of you who are supporting this show through Patreon. Patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio is the place to do it. And of course, that's where you can become an international club member. And ladies and gentlemen, we have got a new Squire member joining at the Squire level. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Ryan, I don't think
it's
I can pronounce this. Ryan Tulloch, right?
Yeah.
It's not Tulloch. I could go Tulloch, you know, Tulloch and drop it or something like that. Yeah. That's a possibility.
Tulloch and drop. Yep. And, you know, two L's in a row could have the Spanish, the kind of Y pronounced L, but it's Ryan Tulloch, man. We are so grateful for you, brother, and man, thanks for hopping on to support us on the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. So grateful, and man, hopping in right there at the top at the Squire level, we're just man, just really honored.
Big time. And hey, if you'd like to consider doing so, again, we cannot make this show happen without you guys. Head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio to learn more. Here it is. So, pipe culture episode. We are continuing on in this series, within a series, so to speak, to talking about places. And so, you know, whenever we do a pipe culture episode, we try to give a little bit of a explanation, a little bit of a background, a little bit of a setting the table, as it were. You know, the pipe culture series kind of came out of early discussions in kind of the early days of this podcast about, you know, what are the things that, you know, what are the ties that bind? What are the things that are kind of universal, or at least have kind of some broad overlap that many pipe smokers, no matter where they come from, kind of have these either shared experiences or shared understandings, shared expectations? What is the pipe community within the pop culture, right? So what is the pipe culture? And it has been very much a question. I don't think ever in the history of kind of the pipe culture series, and I could be wrong, but I don't think ever we've sought to definitively define anything. It has been more of a research and study done so in a public fashion.
Yeah.
So we present the questions, and the listeners, you guys, kind of help kind of define those answers from that standpoint, and we kind of share that. And so we kind of work through various concepts. We've done the pipe smoking archetypes. We've looked at various pillars of pipe culture. And in this series of places, we've talked about places where people enjoy their pipe. You know, we did the man cave and the study, which was a really, really fun one.
Yep.
And it's impossible. I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it would be downright, like, sinful for us to have a pipe smoking places series and not talk about this particular place. And of course, that is the place of the porch.
My favorite, man. My favorite. Yeah. Of course, you know, nowadays pipe smokers and all smokers were relegated to the outside, right? And so we had these folks write in about the man cave and the study, you know, thinking, man, that's nice and it's romantic. And I think about that in novels, or my picture in my mind of pipe smoking, sweater wearing dad coming home after work, retiring to his study to maybe read the Wall Street Journal, put his loafers on and kick up. But, you know, nowadays that area for most of us is outside, and for a lot of us it's the porch, right? It's the porch.
That's
and
right.
So man, it's such a special place, and we got a lot of feedback. It's really it was really kind of you guys.
Absolutely. And you know, a couple things before we actually dive into this. You know, some clarifications, right? Like, not everyone has a porch, but beyond that, like, what even is a porch, right? So in this instance, when we're kind of talking about the porch, we're kind of making that kind of broad assessment. It could be a balcony. It could be a patio.
Yeah.
And honestly, Ben, I would even go so far as to say just a space that you have outside in some form of connection to your house. Could even just be like a spot out in your yard that everybody congregates or that you kind of go to. So we're kind of including the yard as part of the porch from that standpoint.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of, you know, keep that broad mindset from the standpoint of, you know, realizing that, you know, you and I, especially back in Jackson, both had some of the most superior porches in the world. I don't think that's an understatement. Even now, man, in the new house, like, I don't necessarily have like a raised structure.
That's exactly right. The architecture of houses, as one of our commenters here in a minute will mention, has changed, right? It's fundamentally changed over time. And so, you know, how they build houses, you know, the focus of social engagements and that that kind of thing. And so, you know, it might be a patio, it may be a little sidewalk area, a balcony, a small covered sunroom or something of that nature. But that's kind of the, you know, we're trying to envelop all those things with this broad brushstroke that we're calling the porch.
Exactly. The spirit of the porch, if you will. You've already acknowledged it. So why don't you go ahead and jump in, man? Our first one's from Jim Nelson. Yeah. What did Jim have to say?
Yeah, I mean, this is great. It goes straight to the point. This is from Jim. He says, the porch needs to be carefully defined because it's gone through a fundamental change in the last century. Today, the porch is an extension of the house rather than an invitation to the neighborhood. Although different in architectural definition, it is identical in function to the deck or patio out back. It is no longer a place to greet your neighbors, but a place to step outside. In terms of this modern reality, I would like sitting on my porch to smoke my pipe if I had a porch. What I do is sit on the patio or in the garage opening far enough under the eaves so that I won't get wet when it's raining. If I want something similar to a porch experience, I drive to the park, take a chair with me, and watch the people go by. I have to take a chair because no smoking is allowed near the shelters. And I guess he's talking about the covered shelters there where seating is. He says, not many adults say hi, but the kids are amused and occasionally gobsmacked by the pipe. And that's from Jim Nelson. Man, gobsmacked. I don't know if I've ever actually said that word out loud.
I'm certainly gobsmacked that you said it out loud, to be honest.
I am too. Yeah, I am too. Man, I think a good point there, right? Like I kind of alluded to, living in a 90-year-old house, the large porch area, it's very warm. It's kind of this entry point. It is a place where, you know, you sit out there and you very much are invited to interact with your neighbors. Your neighbors see you when they come home from work and, you know, they may walk over with their own bottle of wine or their dog and that kind of thing. It's very much a free-flowing kind of deal. And a lot of neighborhoods are not set up that way anymore. A lot of, you know, modern residential architecture isn't set up that way. And, you know, it has kind of changed. But, you know, a lot of folks take advantage of their opening in their garage or their carport and certainly any little nook outside that they can find.
You know, despite what I said at the top of the show in terms of, you know, broadly kind of including the yard or a spot in the yard as part of the porch, I will say he is touching on something that I think for many of us, at least mentally fundamental when we think of the porch, and that is having some sort of coverage in terms of like something over your head. There's a lot of imagery that comes to mind in terms of enjoying your pipe on the porch, you know, sitting outside while it's raining, you know, so that, you know, you can kind of sit back and watch the storm while you're...
There is something magic about that, isn't there?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so I think that, you know, from that standpoint, it's something that ironically, I didn't even think about until reading his email. But that there is, man, there is absolutely something magic about it. And I remember my first place where I really experimented with trying to figure out how to smoke my pipe, at least by myself without any instruction, was on the quote unquote porch of the first apartment that my wife and I lived in Memphis. And that place, we had kind of a back patio area.
Yeah.
But a large part of my time was actually on the front door, which had like a little, I mean, it's hard to even define, but it had like a little rectangle that kind of covered the walkway area.
Yeah.
Like not like this big, you know, walkway, but like literally like this, you know, you step to the left and downpour, you step to the right and downpour, you step forward and downpour. Like it's this really like tiny, tiny spot.
Yep.
But man, like I had a little table, I would bring in one of the dining room chairs and put it out in the front, right in front of the door and sit under that thing and smoke my pipe as it rained.
And it was, you know, just had some enough great room. Yeah, just enough room. I think a lot of places have that, particularly, you know, apartments and efficiency spots. And, you know, you do with what you can, but man, if you can get away with it right there at the doorstep, that's a good way to get out of the rain and enjoy your pipe.
Yeah, man. You know, in many respects, you know, part of the reason why those moments can be so magical is because it's such a great time of contemplation. And this next email really kind of dives into that as well. This is coming from Leonard Tanksley. What did Leonard have to say?
Yeah, he said, I'm Leonard Tanksley, Tanksley, and I'm a pastor in rural Indiana. My office is in a separate building across from the church, and I have a porch off of my office. Man, I want an office with a porch. That's nice.
I basically do. Like, I know, well, let's be honest, man.
my office has like a lounge, right? Yeah.
Right.
No,
right.
It, He says, I often sit on that porch smoking a pipe and looking at the church and reminisce of my memories there. The baptisms, the weddings, the funerals. I think about the good and the bad news, and I have received at many services in the receiving line after service. I think about my ordination, why this church is special to me. I also think about the pastors who came before me, pastors who also sat on this very porch, and what they thought about. I think about their service to the congregation, their ups and downs of their ministry, or if they thought about the same issues that I have. From this porch, I can also see our cemetery. I think about the saints who have gone before me, the memories I have of them. I think of what heaven is like. I think about the families they have left behind. And on this porch, I contemplate the mysteries of Holy Writ and prepare my sermons, drawing on the pipe as I think about what I'm going to say or how I'm going to craft my sermon for the next week. My porch and my pipe are a place of comfort, a place I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. And he says, peace. So, man, it's so great. Thank you, Leonard. That's a good feedback. And it kind of goes to the point of saying, you know, not only do you have your special place, your special porch where you smoke your pipe, but also because of its particular location and your surroundings, your thoughts stray to specific things during that time, right? They kind of go hand in hand with a lot of your vocation. And, you know, I think folks can say that too. You know, if your porch and your pipe experience is at home right after you put your kids to bed, well, you know, your thoughts may wander to those things more often, right? Is that I guess that kind of makes sense, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it interesting? Because, I mean, you know, I kind of want to take that imagery of like sitting on the porch and reflecting on the history that's around you and you know, just kind of, I mean, man, he kind of went in deep with some of his thought process. But in many respects, that's true for a lot of us when we're enjoying our pipe on our porch and kind of being out in the elements, but also kind of thinking about, you know, those that have come before or what we're working on or what we're kind of thinking through. It is a place of contemplation, but I want to juxtapose that a little bit, man, and think about when we did the episode about the study, right? And the man cave versus the study and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of kind of the thought and the imagery surrounding the study was more about relaxing and kind of like, you know, letting your hair down, so to speak, kind of taking the weight of the day off and just kind of like breathing for a minute, here in your safe space, so to speak. Whereas the porch, it's interesting because there's also very much a relaxing element of sitting out on your porch, of course, but it's almost like you're going there not necessarily to work, but to think. And yeah. I love this. I think this was such a great, just honestly, almost like a very kind of a personal sharing of kind of that what that thought process looks like for Leonard. And so thanks so much for that.
And if you think about it, too, his particular experience with the porch, it goes hand in hand with the reason a lot of folks get into the pipe to begin with, right? Talking about, you know, that sense of legacy, sense of place, sense of timelessness, connectivity to the past, romanticism, and, you know, giving meaning to something that's mundane and everyday. I mean, I think pipe smokers in general would identify with that. So, yeah, good stuff, Leonard. Thanks for your comments, man.
All right, so, you know, one of the things that he really focused on is kind of that personal experience of being on the porch and everything. And one of the things that we have to acknowledge, of course, when you're talking about the porch, is that it is definitively, while we are kind of thinking broadly, the one thing that is universal is that it's outside. And so with that comes a lot of different challenges as well. As Cody DeWitt,
DeWitt.
Cody writes it and shares his experience. Of course, now Cody's up in Michigan.
Yeah.
And so, man, what did Cody have to say?
The porch is my main place of respite to escape the day today and enjoy my pipe. Unfortunately, living in Michigan makes the porch somewhat inhabitable during the winter months, so I'm limited to enjoying my pipe to the fullest during the fall, spring, and summer. This in the last pipe places episode, it was mentioned that when we are a slave to the weather, we cannot make pipe smoking a part of our ritual, which on those snowy days, I wholeheartedly agree with. But I oft contest that thought on nights where the air is still. The Edison-esque hipster string lights are in full display, and I could sit back in the quiet and indulge with a most contemplative friend, my pipe. The joy that is found on a perfect night to smoke a pipe outweighs the time spent smoking inside during the cold season. It realigns my thought of the pipe as a habit and more so as an indulgence and a gift. With that said, the porch for me is a place to unwind, to reflect on life, and to simply relax. These moments are made especially more precious when juxtaposed to the blistering climate that can be West Michigan winters. Each pipe out there is a gift, and it keeps me from taking the hobby for granted. End pipe places topic.
Yeah, so he also included a bunch of pictures. And, you know, actually, Cody was not alone in this, man. We got almost every single email that we got came with a bunch of different pictures of everybody enjoying their pipes on their porches. Yeah. I think that there is, you know, it's like, this is kind of like a, it's like a showcasing kind of like, oh, hey, this is actually where I smoke my pipe. And
this
for a
is
lot
my
of people,
spot.
Yeah, it's where I smoke my pipe. It's also where I listen to Country Squire Radio. So it's also really interesting to,
that's awesome.
To know that a lot of y'all are even right now just sitting on your porch. No, but Cody brings up some really good points here, man, especially with the weather being such a big, you know, playing such a vital role into whether or not you can even enjoy your porch. I do like that, you know, there is something to be said with clinging to the pipe in the midst of the winter cold and that sort of thing. But for those of us down here, man, it's the exact opposite. The heat of summer can sometimes keep us from our porch.
That's exactly right, man. And the mosquitoes too, right? Yeah.
Even get me started.
Our little friends. Yeah. No, it's true, right? So we do have this kind of this seasonal calendar that we go by, the pipe smoking calendar. Someone ought to make one of those. That's really good points, kind of like this liturgical calendar.
No,
pipe
you know
smokers,
that
you know?
Brian Levine would pose for it and they'd be just terrible.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. That would be right, right. We struggle enough as a community. The last thing we need is that to go public, right?
Yeah, that'd be that's awful.
Man, awful. No, there's something about though those seasons where you do you do finally get to get back out there, and it makes you appreciate what you're missing that much more. So here in Mississippi, we are in that season where a lot of our pipe smokers have kind of put their pipe up for a couple months. We've got the pipe smokers that are once a week, maybe a few times a month, and this is the time of year that they'll put their pipe up, and we won't see them maybe until September, October, maybe closer to football season. Our diehard pipe enthusiasts, we're every day, all day. And man, just the weather, forget about it. We're all in.
Well, so, it's interesting. You mentioned the mosquitoes playing a role here. Now, in Houston, man, this is obviously, it's true in Jackson as well, but it's something I've never really noticed in Jackson. It wasn't until I moved here and started enjoying the back patio, which is predominantly uncovered. You know, around that hour, right as the sun starts going down, we get bats. Like, we got tons and tons of bats, and it's a really awesome like time to get out and just like enjoy your backyard or the back patio and smoke the pipe, because the mosquitoes run for their lives because all these bats are coming in to eat them, right?
Really?
So
that's crazy, man.
Yeah,
that's so it's interesting. I would think like, oh, there's bats outside. Run for the hills, run.
No, man. It's like nature is fascinating, right? Like because the reason they come out, they feed at this point, and so all the bugs are running away. And the great thing is at first I was a little bit freaked out because the bats would literally like swoop down into the back patio, like right in front of where we were sitting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know if one bites me, I can't turn into a vampire. Like that's just fiction. But do they bite? Like, do they actually still attack
you? Yeah, you'll get rabies and die, right?
Yeah. And so, I looked it up and no, they don't attack people. They're going for the bugs. And so, but it is wild though. Cause like, it is such a beautiful time to be out at night. Cause it's right when the sun's going down, it starts getting dark. You get the bats flying all around and with all their little squeaks and screeches, but there's absolutely
it's so creepy. Yeah,
no
mosquitoes. Go hide, right? Yeah.
Right.
That's fun. That is one thing about my porch, that is nice. And I think your old porch here in the neighborhood also, it's kind of high up off the ground. And so kind of helps with some of that. One thing, if you're around, if your porch or your patio is kind of lower, then you'll have these, mosquitoes that might be in the bushes that are surrounding you and that kind of thing. And, and that's when you have to intermingle your puffs with spraying bug spray on yourself or maybe the aroma.
Tobacco.
Yeah, well, exactly. Maybe Actually, someone mentioned that one time. Can you put that? I was like, I don't recommend it.
Yeah, let's not.
But, you know, the aroma of your pipe might start mixing with, you know, your citronella candle on your table or maybe your bug spray or whatever. And, yeah, I don't know. It can just kind of mess with the experience a little bit. But, you know, it's all part of it.
Yeah. All right, Matt. So next up, we've got Pastor Joda. I don't want to, after so
no,
much
yeah, no, we got, he raked us over the coals. We got to get it right. Pastor Joda.
That's right. This is great because, you know, one thing he kind of goes into, and we'll see here in a second, is the idea that, you know, we almost become associated with a place, you know, and this is true of, you know, any of these pipe smoking places, really. For him, that place is the porch. So, yeah. John David, what did Pastor Joda have to say?
He says, greetings. Yes, the porch. For me, the porch and the pipe go hand in hand. They are synonymous for me more than for any other locale. For it is on the porch that my pipe journey began and henceforth continues. I find myself, as many others, banished from the comforts of interior life when I choose to fill my pipe. Occasionally, on the rarest of special circumstances, I may find such grace as to partake in the basement, but even then my selections are limited to the most delicate of aromatics. Even when I am with my one pipe smoking friend, we were relegated to his porch. Fortunately, in the last year, we were blessed by being able to purchase a home that has my dream porch. It is literally the porch that I have desired since my wife and I bought our first home over 15 years ago. My porch is 14 by 20 feet, screened in with it's a screened in deck with a ceiling fan and a small propane heater. So it's habitable in most any condition. It is a place for our family to gather for dinner, our friends for conversation, and myself when I'm looking for solitude after a long day or early morning with a cup of coffee and my Bible. We have come to call it our happy place. In fact, we have a sign hanging on the wall declaring exactly that. As my kids grow up, I'm sure they will come to associate the porch with Dad's pipe and vice versa. As much as I would love to have a pipe in a study adorned with dark wood and aged leather, I have found the porch to be as suitable an environment as any. And he says, sent from my porch, and that's Pastor Joda. Man, I can relate to that a lot. Yeah, talk about my safe space. It's like, you know, when I do come home or in the morning with my cup of coffee and that pipe, you know, it's particularly gratifying. You know, there's just a real sweetness there. And you do hope that those family memories, you know, as someone that's expecting their firstborn and all this kind of stuff, you hope that those family memories kind of gather around that like they would the kitchen table kind of thing, and that they do start to associate the porch with that sweet smell of, you know, Papa's pipe that he's smoking in the corner over there. And that's pretty precious. Yeah, thanks, Pastor Joda.
Yeah, it is interesting. I was thinking about, I find myself thinking about the memories of, you know, my grandfather who passed earlier this year, and you know, my uncle who passed the year prior, and you know, thinking about, like, you know, at some point my kids are going to be thinking about me, you know, like, and how will how will they think about me, like, when they think about, like, the imagery that comes to mind, what is that going to be? And I know for a lot of us, it's thinking about kind of loved ones that have passed, it is kind of them sitting on the porches and smoking their pipes and, you know, having kind of almost that, you know, that this is a terrible, terrible reference, but almost like that fortress of solitude type of place where they know they can kind of come to Dad or come to whomever that person is and have that conversation and talk, you know. I don't know. It's that got me in the feels a little bit. Not gonna lie.
I know, right?
Not gonna lie, Pastor.
Just dug in a little bit.
All right, Matt. So next one coming in from Jim Freedy. Now, you know, Jim actually echoes something that that Joda said as well, which is the kind of this, you know, the porch for many of us, you know, as much as we may love the man cave or more accurately the study. You know, in modern times, it's just not as much a thing as it once was. And so for many of us, the porch very much is that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. It's like, well, it's not even that we can't smoke in our man cave or can't smoke in our study. It's just that it doesn't even exist, right?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So what did Jim have to say?
Yeah, he said, my back porch is where I smoke my pipe 95% of the time. It's my refuge, my haven, my wall-less man cave. I often enjoy a bowl with one or more friends on my porch, but often I'm alone with my thoughts, a good book, or my iPad. Both chiminea and fire pit are available, but only needed about half the year here in the Southwest. With the string of ambient Christmas lights outlining the ceiling, I can enjoy a bowl at night without the blinding overhead lights. The furnishings are simple, but they suit me just fine. It's nothing fancy, yet it's perfect nonetheless. Everyone at home knows the porch is Dad's favorite room. And that's from our good friend, longtime friend, Jay Freedy. He briefly mentions, like, even kind of the furnishings out there and how that, you know, it's kind of set up in this comfort level, right? And I feel that similarly, like, I feel like, you know, the furnishings out on my porch, just the simple wooden chairs and rocker chairs that we've
hodgepodge.
Got out there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right? But that's kind of part of the experience, right? And, you know, we've got it set up just how I need it with the ashtrays always out there. It's always on my table right next to my favorite chair on the porch. And I've got a friend of mine a long time ago made me one of those leather pipe loops that works as a pipe stand. And, you know, so it's always sitting right there on my table next to my favorite chair on the porch. And so it's just ready-made, man. I've got a cigar box that's out there on the porch, and it's got all the pipe knickknacks that I might need last minute there, some pipe cleaners and emergency tampers and all that stuff. So, man, all I have to do is walk out there with my pipe and, you know, my favorite tobacco and just ready to go. It's interesting. You know, I've had folks tweet me, text me, you know, email me photos of their porch area before, and they give a lot of thought to the furnishings there because, of course, you know, pipe smokers, we need these knickknacks, right? We need places to put things and places to store stuff and, you know, places to set things where we're not using them and all this kind of stuff. You know, so the furnishings, the, you know, the little places to put things, it's very intentional in some cases. So even had one guy, he's like, yeah, I bought this specific shelf because I can put my pipe stuff on it, but it fits in this very specific spot so that I can put my feet up on it just in the right way to enjoy the television or, you know, something like that. And it's, you know, that thoughtfulness right. That goes into it, I think is pretty cool. Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I you know, in terms of like the arrangement right now, I'm trying to get my office tweaked in just like the perfect way. And part of that is that I need a, like the perfect chair and it needs to be angled in the perfect, you know, position from that standpoint, which is kind of, I mean, you know, at some point, I think, I even think that the furnishing of all of these different things, be it the study or the porch, is a place unto itself. And so I've actually been kind of kicking around the idea that to kind of conclude the pipe smoking places, we need to do one just dedicated to like the smoking chair. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
the chair itself, right?
The chair itself. Yeah, I think I actually posted that to the Facebook page a while back, half kidding. But then, like, as I started like finding more pictures and getting more feedback on various chairs, I'm like, you know what? This actually
might
make a really interesting topic.
Yeah,
literally. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
four of them, but yeah, man. So you know, one thing that Jim mentioned, and we'll see kind of appear in kind of our final email as well, is the porch, of course, is a place that we go to kind of be contemplative and alone, but it's also a place of community. In many respects, you know, it is a hub for when friends get together to smoke their pipes. If they're not kind of going out to the local pipe shop or to whatever restaurant or meetup spot, if they're doing it at somebody's home, it's generally going to be around, you know, on the porch. And, you know, you mentioned, of course, your house is very much has always been set up that place. You know, I think with both of us, man, anytime that there was any kind of major gathering that was going on our porches, pipes were always involved.
Yes, you know, every time.
Like if there was a party going on, man, like, and not only that, not only would there be, you know, a couple of jars of tobacco for people to pull from, but there was also, you know, I always had a couple of extra corn cobs, you know, that I was ready to like around and you know, if somebody wanted to join in and either they didn't have a pipe or they had forgotten their pipe, well, you know, that wasn't a problem. We had plenty. So,
that's right. That's right.
It can be a community place and a community experience. But like I said, Dylan has more to say on this. What did Dylan have to say?
Yeah, this is from Dylan Schlender. He says, the duality of the porch being a public and private place is a feature of worthy of special consideration. On the front porch, you are able to entertain yourself, your guests, and your community. Often I've been on the front porch, pipe in mouth with a book in hand or podcast in ear, and just taken in the splendor of life as it hustles and bustles around me. Friends and family who join me for a smoke will be treated to neighbors who give thoughtful salutations on their way to the post office. And on Sunday, the churchgoers across the street love to walk over and converse before they head in. The porch feels like my sanctuary after a long day of work, but it's also a fantastic forum for my small street. You never know who you will meet or talk to, but I do know I would not have had these fantastic experiences without my pipe. Great show, great topic, and thanks. That's from Dylan. A good point. You know, again, I think some of these porches, you know, historically have been, you know, if your home was closer to the street and it was much more visible, kind of an entry point to your house, a very, very public place as opposed to something that was hidden in the back and private. It did kind of, you know, allow you to have those kind of what do they call it? Holding court. You know, you get to hold court with your neighbors, your local friends, and you know, the pipe accentuates that, right? Because it's, of course, the aroma is drawing people in. It's something interesting that people nowadays, you know, want to ask about, comment on, reference, mention. And so, you know, it's just, it's fun. And I think, you know, the pipe in those situations does, you know, add some richness to the experience.
You know, like I said at the top of the show, man, the porch very much is that quintessential place that we must talk about if we're going to do this series. And man, we've seen, you know, so many, you know, commonalities that people have shared throughout their various porch experiences. But one of the things that is true, man, is, you know, the porch has been, it's been this haven for the outcast, specifically those of us whose spouses won't let us smoke inside.
That's right.
It's also been a it's also been a spot of contemplation, of kind of a place to kind of go deep into your thinking of, you know, whatever you might be working on or just the history that's around you. And then also a place of community. And, you know, I think, you know, for me personally, you know, as we've already said, like, you know, the porch, you know, yeah, I mean, like, it's been all of those things, but I think what I enjoy the most about it is the community aspect, is that it is this place when, you know, welcoming somebody to your home, that this one little spot, it's both inside and outside. So you are welcoming them into your home from that standpoint, but you're able to be out in nature and just kind of enjoy your pipe, enjoy conversation, might have some of the candles burning, might have a fire pit or two, whatever the thing is around you. And if you're like John David and I, then you've got the eclectic furniture that doesn't make any sense to anybody else, but to us, because you know what? It's what we had.
That's right. It's what we had. And sometimes you don't want to grow out of those milk crates, you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Man, any other final thoughts on the porch from you, John David?
Man, no, I it is the favorite place in my house. You know, it is that kind of special sanctuary there. And, you know, it historically has been a place where, you know, anytime a big life event happens, that's kind of where I retire to, right? To either enjoy it or to mull it over or to, you know, even to grieve or to have really difficult conversations with friends or, you know, anything of great importance or value, it always seems to end up there. And I don't know, it's a special place for me personally. You know, it just a large area that, you know, folks can gather and, you know, but it's always close enough to the kitchen to come refill my drink if I ever need to. So
exactly.
Very important.
That's good. Well, and, you know, and like we said that, you know, that it is because it is such a great spot to have folks over, you know, you never know who's coming over to the house. You might be having some friends that, of course, bringing their pipes with them, but you might have some friends that are not necessarily pipe smokers. And, but hey, you know, if they're all sitting around like, oh man, everybody's enjoying this fine quality pipe tobacco, man, that smell, it's just taking me back. I'd love to learn how to smoke a pipe, but I don't own one. I don't have one. The pipe shop is, you know, 15 to 45 minutes away. What are we going to do? Well, you always want to be equipped in that situation. You always want to be equipped. You want to make sure you have exactly what they need, and that means a good quality clean smoking corncob pipe available from our good good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. Always have a bunch of them on hand for this exact purpose.
That is exactly right, man. Well played, Bo. Well played. You know, it's Missouri Meerschaum pipes, of course, you know, we love the quality of them, but we also love the value of them. And having a bunch of them around, you know, for, or, you know, a handful around for those guests that come over that, man, you know, I'm going to have some folks over. I don't know if they're interested in pipes, but, you know, in case they are, I've got plenty of tobacco. Here's a fresh Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe that they could learn on, practice with, that kind of thing. Maybe even take with them as a nice little gift for you to send their way. And so, man, just a good treat, and of course for the seasoned smoker as well. The last few weeks we've been talking about the Great Dane corncob pipe, which comes in the spindle and the spool, both bent and straight, and they're both fantastic pipes, but also fantastic porch pipes because they have generous bowls. These are pipes that are very much tailored to the you know, sitting down for long periods of time, enjoying your evening, enjoying a quiet moment with friends, you know, and even enjoying a party that's going to you know, last several hours kind of thing. You can load that bowl up and smoke it for a really long time. So man, take some photos of you enjoying your pipe on the porch, take some photos of you enjoying your pipe, your Great Dane pipe, and then also be sure to you know, let the folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that we are so grateful for them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week coming in from Gregory Caesar. Here's what Gregory had to say. He said, I grew up watching my grandfathers enjoy pipes, and to my recollection, they each had about two or three pipes top. Okay, so here's the deal. Also, I remember they smoked all blends out of each of their pipes, but they cleaned them frequently, and they both replaced the stems as needed. I understand the concept of ghosting, and I also know that it's one that it can be one's preference, but is it really that much of a thing to where blend dedicated to pipes are recommended? I do have blend dedicated pipes, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks, guys. Again, that's from Gregory Caesar. So man, basically what Gregory's saying here is that, you know, having watched his grandfather's, you know, having kind of a, you know, not necessarily a full cabinet of pipes, but only having a few pipes, but smoking various tobaccos out of them, you know, do you have to have these dedicated pipes that like only smoke, you know, English out of this pipe? I only smoke, you know, my super cherry tobacco out of this pipe? Or is it kind of okay to have, you know, a couple of different blends coming in and out of pipes? I think I'm understanding him. That's the way that I'm understanding him.
Yeah. No, that makes good sense. And, you know, it is totally a personal preference. You are going to have those carryover flavors as you smoke different types of blends out of different types of pipes. But some people don't mind that at all. Matter of fact, some people look forward to kind of the melding of flavors there as they kind of carry over. You know, most people, I think, you know, prefer kind of that purest form of the tobacco. But you just never know. You know, folks, I've got some customers, some of our more, you know, dedicated pipe smokers that smoke their pipe, you know, every single day, all day. And, you know, they wouldn't even think about, you know, the concept of ghosting to them doesn't, you know, even show up on the radar kind of thing. You know, if they want to smoke a cherry blend, they'll smoke a cherry blend. If they want to smoke a Virginia, they'll smoke a Virginia, and it'll all be out of a same pipe. So, yeah, you know, I think, the old timers, you know, a lot of these guys that were smoking their pipe, a lot more regularly than some folks do nowadays. They had two or three pipes tops. They you know, they worked those pipes to death. If they chewed up a stem, they got a new stem. They, you know, they didn't necessarily collect you know, their precious you know, rack full of Savinellis. You know, obviously some did, that was a thing, but you know, but in some ways though, a lot of the most dedicated pipe smokers of history, you know, they had those two or three pipes, and they just kind of they used them. It was a tool. It was something that they really, you know, really used up. And so, yeah, and in those cases, you know, if they were presented with a different tobacco, well, they just loaded it up and smoked it. You know, they weren't particularly, you know, worried about, you know, the flavors, you know, blending and that type of thing. So, you know, it depends on how much of a purist you are. It depends on how much you want to make sure you're, you know, tasting specific flavors. For me, I do like to try to devote some pipes to English English blends, some pipes to aromatics, and some pipes to Virginias. I also have kind of these catch-all pipes, you know, that I can smoke anything out of that, you know, just are good for in a pinch. Meerschaums are good because, of course, you know, with meerschaums, they don't really, you know, the goal is to not build cake in a block meerschaum pipe, and so you know, that can kind of be helpful. But and then you can put whatever you want to in it. But yeah, it's just a personal preference, and you know, something you'll figure out. But man, those old timers, though, you know, a lot of those guys, they, man, just load it up and smoke them. And gosh, if you got two or three pipes and you're smoking your pipe a bunch, who can blame them, right?
That's good, man. No, and that's good perspective too. That, you know, that while some people like, yeah, I don't like the blending, you know, some people look forward to that. That's really good. Well, Gregory, hopefully that gets your question right there. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, be sure to send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire
questions.
Ow!
All right, man. Quick fire questions coming in from, these are continuing on the list that Stephen Mario Joseph Cardello sent in, SMJC. Yeah. To his friends. All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay, this is appropriate. Man cave versus study.
Haven't we already been here before?
I feel like yeah, deja vu.
I know, right? Yeah, I'm gonna go with study today. I think you know, it changes occasionally, but I think I answered study before. I think and I think I'm gonna answer study again today. Yeah.
You know, I take a lot of comfort in the fact and just the reality that no one will ever go back and fight. Because, you know, the quick fire, there's some quick fire questions that come around from time to time. You know, like
bent versus straight, aromatics versus English, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, pancakes versus waffles. I think we've gotten that like three or four times. You know, like we've been here. But fortunately, I don't think anybody's ever going to go back in time and like say like, well, back in, you know, 2016, you said, you know.
You say that, Bo, but someone's going to do it.
Mark, please don't.
Someone will definitely do it.
But anyway, so it is very much on a whim for sure. But yeah, I'm going to go study as well. I've got kind of a home office at the new house and everything, which has kind of been essentially my study. Although again, it lacks that chair. I need that chair. But
gotta find that chair. Yeah, man. We need recommendations on a chair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'll be the entire reason why we do that episode, is so I can buy a chair. All right, so we're gonna go study. Next up, work shed versus workshop garage.
Let's see. I would probably go, if I had my preference, with a workshop shed, so that I could have all that stuff away from the garage, and the garage could be more for the vehicles themselves. Now, you know, because I live in a really old house that has a very tiny backyard, that will probably never happen. But right. Yeah, in my mind, I think it'd be great if I had a workshop shed. I think that'd be awesome.
I feel like if you're like a handy person, you know what I mean, then a shed definitely makes the most sense. But I got to tell you, man, like, you know, I've seen some sheds, you know, I'm not going to name names or point any fingers here, but like that have kind of fallen into disrepair. Like you always walk into the shed and I don't think I have ever walked into a backyard shed in Jackson, Mississippi, where there wasn't an active hornet's nest. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that always seems to be the case.
Yeah. It's like, are people really using this, or is it just something to, like, you know, put their Christmas decorations in that they go in once a year? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they build like one thing, and then they come back, you know, they go back like a couple weeks later, like, oh, the wasps are here, I should go kill those. And then they never actually do kill the wasps. And then 5 years later, they have to get an exterminator so they can build something
else. That's hilarious.
Else.
Their active hornet's nest. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
so fantastic. I'm gonna go with garage.
Yeah. Okay. that's good that's fair. Yeah.
All right, fireplace or potbelly stove?
Fireplace, I think probably 10 times out of 10. Yeah, I love the fireplace. I love collecting, you know, firewood. You know, when I do, you know, light a fire in the house, in the fireplace, I a lot of times that's the perfect time for me to smoke my pipe inside the house, because it's kind of going along with the fireplace anyway. So, man, it's just a really kind of fun wintertime Christmassy thing, and I love it. So, yeah, fireplace.
Okay. All right. Right on. Yeah, definitely fireplace for me as well. Just so many different memories about fireplaces growing up, but I've always been intrigued by the potbelly stove. You know, like I've never yeah. had one before, never actually been in a house with one that was like actively going. And, you know, you occasionally see them on like, you know, Airbnb will send you like, come out here to this cabin out in the wilderness. And it's got the yeah. potbelly stove. And, you know, part of me is like, should I do this just so I can experience the potbelly stove? Yeah, probably not. But, yeah, I'm curious about that. Actually, if you've got a potbelly stove, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
All right. And then finally, corncob versus briar.
Not fair. Not fair.
That is absolutely 120,000% not fair.
Not fair. Yeah.
Morta. Oh, didn't see that one coming.
I know, right? Yeah. Just kidding. Man, no, I will go with briar. I do love a briar pipe. You know, there's something about briar, how it seasons and, you know, how durable it is. It's something that, you know, can be smoked for, you know, 100 years and passed down generationally and continued to be used. I do love briar, but, man, as everyone knows, we love corncob pipes and, you know, believe in them and think they have a really important, you know, lineup in the rotation as well. So and I have a bunch of both.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I probably own more briar pipes, but lately I've actually been smoking more corncob pipes. Part of that yeah. is just because coming back from Missouri Meerschaum, I had like, you know, like what, six more pipes than I intended to purchase.
A bag full of them. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've been trying to kind of like, you know, just enjoy them and figure out like, you know, I like, you know, what am I going to smoke in this? Not that you need to with a good quality smoking corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum, because of course, right. doesn't matter what you're smoking in it, it's always going to be amazing.
anyway. That's right.
So yeah, so lately it's been, I've actually been going to my corncob pipes more than my briars, but I do love briar.
It's situational.
So it is very situational. This is not a fair question. I guess briar by a hair, because, and the reason is because if I'm going to like impress somebody, there's like two or three pipes that I go to if I want to turn heads, and yeah. all of those are briar pipes that I've got in my collection.
I understand that. No, that's good.
But I have been smoking more corncob lately. But anyway, great questions. Again, that's coming in from Stephen Mario Joseph Cardello. And of course, quickfire questions are brought to us by the awesome Country Squire Radio t-shirts available at thecountrysquireonline.com. Do you have yours? Wear it. Selfie it. Send us those selfies. We will resend those selfies. We'll give them to the Russian face mob or whatever the thing was that everybody got their stuff at. Anyway, yeah, wear your shirts. You can get them at thecountrysquireonline.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback, man. We've got some great listener feedback to close out with. Yeah. It's already been, you know, that's the fun thing about this particular type of episode is that, you know, the entire episode is essentially listener feedback. But let's see, we got one in from Jim Garrison. What did Jim have to say?
Yeah, he says, hello there. I'm wanting to try something different from grocery store brands. I'm assuming he's talking about over-the-counter.
Over-the-counter?
Over-the-counter. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's something your horse likes to smoke. He goes on to say, I am very new to this. Since McClelland is no longer producing and the only available blends are on eBay, like 1.75 ounces of Frogmorton for $190, are you planning on doing something? Are you planning on doing another entry-level non-aromatic podcast? I actually like Captain Black, but I want to try them all. Sweet Virginia sounds good. Does the Squire have free shipping anytime? So a lot of questions going on there. And Jim, thanks for writing in. So actually, you know, that's not a bad idea to revisit some of those old, you know, topics that we've had, because a lot of them now are going to have changed due to the availability of different tobaccos. Think of McClelland going out of business. Think of, you know, the Dunhill tobaccos being, you know, unavailable for what appears to be just a season. You know, things like that happen. And so they change, are going to constantly change kind of those top threes, those entry level blends, those different kinds of episodes. So great call on that. We'll think about revisiting that.
I made a note too. So we'll see if we can't get to that one sooner rather than later. It's a great.
That's
great idea. I think
that's a good point, yeah. And then also, you know, the only time we do free shipping is typically, you know, around some type of big event or the holidays, some kind of big sale. We don't have any kind of standing thing like that. But you never know, that something might pop up. So just stay tuned, and we'd love to send you some sweet tobacco.
That's good, man. All right. Also on iTunes, we got a great review in from Gabe at Sky Paula, who said, entertaining and relevant. If you're a pipe smoker, tobacco enthusiast, or love hobbits and rednecks, then you owe it to yourself to listen to this show. Accurate. Always love the reviews that are like 110% like spot on.
I know, right? Yep.
They totally nailed got it. Us. Well, you know, that's the great thing, man. This particular episode, doing a pipe culture episode, is very much a listener-centric episode. We love to share y'all's thoughts and you know, provide a little commentary around them as well, but really just kind of hear from you and turn the mics over to you. And we're going to keep the ball rolling. Next week is when we've got the Pipe Shop Fails episode. So while all of the great listener feedback in our listener emails and thoughts were like positive and cerebral this time, next week's going to be a little bit different.
But bring that's on the okay. Hate. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, you know, not let the hate flow through.
No, just some frustrations, right? And some quirky, odd stories, and, you know, maybe
quirky, odd stories. That's right. Yeah. We don't want the hate to flow through. We're not Pipes Magazine. I mean, you know, we don't want the hate to flow through. I'm just kidding. Right.
That's funny. Oh, man, no, we're looking forward to that. And, man, I think it'll be a lot of fun to hear those goofy, you know, anecdotes from folks on both sides of the counter. I think it'll be a good time.
I really hope so, man. I'm looking forward to getting those in. And again, you can email those thoughts into show at countrysquireradio.com. We'll also be putting out a Facebook post with kind of the ability to air those grievances. But if you want to remain anonymous, I should have probably mentioned that at the top of the show as well. Like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Just mention. In fact, you know what? John David, why don't we, for the sake of making sure that, like, we're just, you know, completely anonymous, we will not mention shop names if the shop is currently active.
Yeah.
And we will not,
even if they're,
we'll
not
mention maybe initials. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe might mention initials, but we won't mention the names of anybody or anything like that.
Yeah, so, definitely not the names of the stores themselves. Yeah, we're just having a little fun here, trying to talk about you know, some goofy goofy you know, experiences that you've had maybe at your favorite pipe shop or not favorite pipe shop.
That's right. That's right.
I think it'll be a fun time.
Not trying to start anything nor throw shade with this episode. Now, there is one in the future I'd like to do that with.
We're going to have a lot of emails about these terrible experiences from the shop whose initials are TCS, right? Yeah. Right. This tobacconist that was just a jerk, this JDC, you know.
Yeah.
Owner of TCS, right?
What a disaster. Blending his tobacco all over the place, not even wearing a hairnet.
I know, right. Hairnet. I probably need one, right?
Oh, man. All right, well, hey, we look forward to getting all that great feedback. And, hey, you can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio, but all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, John David, man, it's always great to check in with you on the weekly, and looking forward to next week.
Yeah, dude, me too, man. Looking forward to it, and we'll see you soon.
That's right. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.